From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of October, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, will be along to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And I'll give you an update on how to make a tax contribution of a commodity and all the advantages it has if you happen to do the job correctly, and the pitfalls if you don't. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contracts in the soft red winter wheat, 8.5 cents lower at 607.5. March at 644, down 8.5. And May wheat at 668.5, down 8.75. July, 681, 8 cents lower. And the September futures at 699.5, down 7.75. December corn futures for the day, $6, down 5.5 cents. March at 612.75, 5.5 lower. The May, 620.25, down 5.25, and July at 624.25, 5.75 lower. September, $5.93.25, down 6 cents. December futures at 568, 7 cents lower on the day. November beans, 1158.25, down 5.5 cents. January at 1170, 5.75 lower. The March contract at 1179.25, down 5.75. May beans at 1187.25, down 6.5. And July futures 1195.25, down 6.5 cents. November of next year, $11.75, down 7.75. Bean meal futures finished the October contract at $300.10, up 40 cents. Bean oil at 49.07, 15 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the October at 121.97.5, 37.5 cents lower. December futures 121.85, down 55. October feeders at 139.62.5. 52.5 cents lower, and the lean hogs finished the October contract at $94.67.5, down 7.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $82.87 a barrel, up 28 cents. Ethanol at $2.48.8, that's 0.4 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.48.6, down 11.2 cents. And the heating oil at $2.85.7, 0.3 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,634.50 an ounce, down $17.40. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 116, just about 6 points lower, and the dollar at 78.72. That's up 0.08. The CRB index at 303.57, down 1.18 on the afternoon. The weather forecast says this afternoon we'll see sunny skies in the Urbana-Champaign area with a high near 86 degrees, winds out of the south at about 14 miles an hour, the gust all the way to 18 for the day. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 56, south winds between 8 and 11, gusting to 15. Saturday, sunny, a high of 85 degrees, south winds at 8 to 13. And Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 54 degrees, south winds at 7 to 9. Sunday, sunny skies, a high of 82, south winds at 6. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 53. And then on Columbus Day, sunny skies, a high of 81 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 57. Tuesday should show us mostly sunny skies, a high of 80 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 58. And Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 78 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 55. Thursday, a chance of showers and partly sunny, a high near 71 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzolo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd. Happy Friday, buddy.
Happy Friday to you. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. Tell me about the week in the marketplace.
I guess the weekly close, the fact that the corn was only up about 7.5 cents in Dease, the beans were down a little over 20, and the wheat was down almost 2 cents in the Dease futures, kind of indicated to me that the perception I had all week long was probably accurate in that this trade's just simply worn out and skittish right now, and the market is still very much remembering last Friday and the limit down move in corn. And what we had on our hands in the grains this week, I think, was a rebuilding week, Todd, and they're very nervous ahead of the USDA report coming out next week. They're very nervous about the currency bill that's going to be voted in the Senate next week, and they're very nervous about a big European meeting this weekend that's going to probably dictate and tell us a lot as to whether France and Germany can finally agree on how to, if Greece defaults, how to protect the rest of the European Union from being too negatively affected. So I think this is a rebuilding week technically, rebuilding week psychologically, and a lot of nervousness and skittishness residual from last Friday's report.
And can you take us back to a year ago at this point when we had the grain stocks report, and then we turned around and we had the crop production report, and things changed dramatically over that 10 or 12-day period. Remind us what that was and tell us whether you think that could happen again this time around.
Boy, I can't remember the specifics too well, but I do remember that the October report was a little bit of a difference, quite a bit of a difference from the September report. But as far as the ins and outs of what specifically, Todd, I'm not really good about remembering that type of stuff.
Yeah, and I actually think the difference was that we had a push lower, and then we turned around and got the numbers for the coming year, and consumption was up, if I remember correctly.
Well, and see, I think that I don't want to go out too far on a limb, but I think that was right around the time that QE2 was starting to kick into high gear as well. I think there was a lot of Federal Reserve activity around that time period, too, that kind of culminated with some positive grain news as well, because I think, if I remember right, there was some pretty good moves in the outside markets that kind of complemented the move back up in the grains as well.
You know, I'm just a farm boy and I'm looking for something.
Well, you know, one thing we did get this week was a good basis week. We got a good weekly export sales week, another 1.3 million tons for corn. The demand, you know, like we talked about on Commodity Week last week, the demand is coming back. There's just no two ways about it. And I think that once we get past Tuesday and Wednesday, when the midweek reports and the bill for the currency manipulation from the Senate gets voted on, I think we'll have a lot more clear idea of what our trend is going to be as we go through the last half of harvest. But producers are clearly telling me right now, and I'm clearly recommending to them right now to put everything they can in the bin, especially the corn.
Yeah, on the market and the charts, we did have an outside up week in the continuation chart and the lead option for corn.
Yeah, the corn didn't have any friends this week. I think that was the bottom line, is the beans had the weight of the pre-report estimates. Those things came in very big. I mean, the average estimate was 186, 183 million bushels. The top end was over 250 million bushels for ending stock. So between that and the fact that the wheat market turned negative on the heels of expected rains in Kansas City, that was a big feature of today and yesterday, especially. KC wheat was down double digits and pulled on Chicago yesterday and today both. But I think corn simply just didn't have any friends to help it go higher. And I think when you're in this type of a situation, running against major lows in the charts, the outside market's not able to really sustain strength, and you get one piece of good news and then one piece of bad news, I think everybody has to work in coordination at this stage as far as corn, beans, and wheat if you want to change the trend and bring in the more medium-term buyers.
You know, I made a mistake on that. I said outside up week, but it was a hook up week in the lead option continuation corn and, of course, the harvest month as well in the December contract on that weekly chart. When you look out further into the month maybe of mid-month of October, early November. What do you think this marketplace will look like?
If we don't get a negative report, and negative meaning we don't go up to that 185 to 200 million bushel carryover in the beans, and I personally think that we've already dialed in an 800 to 850 million bushel carryover in corn. So unless we get closer to a billion, and some of the top-end estimates are up that high, if we don't get something like that, I still think those highs from the report last week, that grain stocks report on September 30th, that 630 Dease corn high and the 1238 November bean high, I think those are still very good, solid technical objectives that we can go back up to just on a relief or a retracement type rally. Maybe I'm being a little bit too aggressive on the beans because we are hearing a lot of good yields out there in the beans, but quite frankly, I think we've been hearing that for several weeks now, or at least 2 weeks. And I was over in Jacksonville on Tuesday visiting a couple clients, and it was just amazing when I got west of Decatur how much harvest had been done, and they were almost finished completely cutting beans today with some of the guys I've talked to. So I think harvest is going to rapidly finish up here. So I'm a little bit less negative about the beans if the USDA doesn't treat us too ugly.
Yeah, my family lives over in that area west, even further of Decatur. They finished up corn last week.
It's amazing. It's a real stark difference to what I saw, you know, on 74, even at Danville and Champaign. I mean, you get west of Decatur, it's amazing how much they've gotten done.
Okay, two things. Have you talked to many folks in Iowa? And it seems to me that they've been awful dry, and I've asked this of a few folks. And what are their corn yields like? And then for the people you're talking to that are saying their corn yields are better than they expected, the question is, were their corn yields better last year than even those this year?
Yeah, right. I think your latter question, yes, their corn yields are not better. I should say, no, their corn yields are not better than last year. I think that's an important point. But I think also we got to realize that last year's corn yield came in at, what was it, 152.8, and then 2009 was 164.7. 2008 was 154. So even at a 148.6 yield that I put up this week, that's still a very low yield. So I do think that the yields are down versus last year, but I think USDA's got that handled for the most part. Your first question, Iowa and Nebraska people seem very happy from what I've talked to and the clients I work with out there. I think Minnesota is still a very big wild card for both corn and beans. That's probably going to be the state that I really look at on Tuesday's report, not just from a standpoint of yield, but also from a standpoint of harvested acres and whether there was any crop damage done up in that area as well.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that the other thing that we noticed this week, too, Todd, was that the commodity index charts did find some support. And I think, again, that's why I'm referring to this week as a real rebuilding week. Mm-hmm. I think if you can hold those commodity index charts at the current price levels, not take out this week's lows, I think that does a lot to the sentiment for the funds to maybe come back in later in October to start buying for their 2012 positions.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzlo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Mike had to say again, you can do that in a couple of ways. You can visit our website at willag.org. If you have a smartphone, you can visit our mobile website at m.willag.org. Or if you just have a regular phone or decide you just want to dial a number instead, how about 217-333-3434? A little voicemail. We'll put it up about 3:15. We do that actually twice a day, 10:15 and 3:15, with either the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis on our voicemail. It's all part of the service at willag.org. Now here's Dave with the news.
U.S. President Barack Obama yesterday provided one of his most comprehensive statements regarding the financial crisis in Greece and other Euro countries and its potential to impact trade and the U.S. economy.
The biggest headwind the American economy is facing right now is uncertainty about Europe because it's affecting global markets. The slowdown that we're seeing is not just happening here in the United States. It's happening everywhere. Even in some of the emerging markets like China, you're seeing greater caution, less investment, deep concern. You know, uncertainty around Greece and their ability to pay their debts runs on in the capital markets, on the debt that many of these southern European countries have been facing, as well as Ireland and Portugal. All that's put severe strain on the world financial system. I speak frequently with Chancellor Merkel and President Sarkozy. They are mindful of these challenges. I think they want to act to prevent a sovereign debt crisis from spinning out of control or seeing the potential breakup of the euro. I think they're very committed to the European project. But their politics is tough because essentially they've got to get agreement with not only their own parliaments, they've got to get agreement with 20 parliaments or 24 parliaments or 27 parliaments. And engineering that kind of coordinated action is very difficult. But what I've been seeing over the last month is a recognition by European leaders of the urgency of the situation. And nobody's obviously going to be affected more than they will be if the situation there spins out of control. So I'm confident that they want to get this done. I think there are some technical issues that they're working on in terms of how they get a big enough, how do they get enough firepower to let the markets know that they're going to be standing behind Euro members who may be in a weaker position. But they've got to act fast. And we've got a G20 meeting coming up in November. My strong hope is that by the time of that G20 meeting, that they have a very clear, concrete plan of action that is sufficient to the task.
President Barack Obama speaking yesterday in Washington, D.C. regarding the European debt crisis. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program we'll post to our website at willag.org or the mobile website at m.willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest, Tom Doerr, President and CEO of the U.S. Grains Council, will talk all about China, its potential to import U.S. corn, and how good their crop might be this year. That's Commodity Week, posted to willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Now up next, let's talk about the tax implications of making charitable contributions of grain and or other agricultural commodities. Gary Hoff from the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences will be on board. It's the time of the year when many producers are now in the field in the midst of harvest and they're thinking about making some charitable contributions of grain, but this can be used for all types of agricultural commodities. Gary Hoff from the U of I, can you tell us just exactly what producers might need to do? For instance, at this point, I'm thinking they might make a decision to make a charitable contribution. They would go to the elevator with their grain and simply say, make a check out to my local church. Does that work?
And it's not even quite that simple. Okay? If you just deliver grain, say, hey, make X thousand dollars about to Y church, IRS can take the argument you had constructive receipt of that money, and therefore it's taxable to you, and you gave them cash. So to protect your deduction, first thing you need to do is to send a letter, so you have it documented in writing, to that charity that you have 5,000 bushels of number 2 yellow corn that you're contributing to them. And could they please tell you when they would like for you to market that and where they would like to market it, and that you currently have it stored in your bin? You get a letter back from them. That letter may say, market it at your convenience, wherever you would like. or it may say, you know, let's hold it for 30 days, whatever that case may be. In IRS speak, you've now given up dominion and control of that grain. Okay, it's the charity's grain, it's not yours. Anything that happens after that, such as the sale of it, all impacts them. And since that charity isn't paying income tax, they would have no tax liability on the sale. So what it really does is it allows you, if you want, to increase the amount of the donation because you're not paying income tax on that money that you're donating to them. A couple of other things that you need to be aware of. This works for farm operators. It works for materially participating landlords where they're getting share crop. But if you're materially participating, then you need to be paying self-employment tax on that farm operation. If you're not, if you're a straight crop share landlord, cash rent landlord, then IRS is going to require you to report the value of that grain you gifted as income and take your tax deduction on Schedule A.
Gary Hoff is a tax specialist at the University of Illinois in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. You can read his article on charitable contributions on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Time to check on the closing market report Friday afternoon edition, the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company is on the phone line. Thanks, Bruce, for taking time with us today. I know you're probably busy. What's the situation there in Ludlow?
We are harvesting soybeans, probably 30 to 40% done on soybeans across the company, so making some pretty rapid progress there. Corn is kind of sitting while we do that, and I'm guessing anywhere from, only 4% at some of our locations up to 30 on the south has been harvested. So we've got a long ways to go on corn yet.
Are producers pleasantly surprised with their bean numbers?
Bean yields are all over the place. Some of them are pleasantly surprised, and quite a few are disappointed. I've got beans from the mid-20s to, you know, 60-plus.
Sounds like corn.
Yep, all over the place and no apparent rhyme or reason.
All right, so what's basis like?
Basis, 6 under the D's on corn. I think last week when I was 10 under, I said that I didn't think it could tighten up much more, and it was there. So much for that theory.
Right.
Beans, 28 under last week. We're 29 under tonight, so pretty flat.
And then if you go further out, so you're 6 under, but what's the river and what's SIF values? Do you know any place else?
I have not watched the river closely. Barge Freight, some of those guys, I've watched some trades there, and it looks like, sounds like things have been really quiet on the freight market, saying that it doesn't look like much of a harvest so far.
Okay, and your bids for the day?
We are at $5.94 on nearby corn and $11.29 on soybeans.
You have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks much. That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes for some of you. For the rest of you, we'll say so long. To those radio stations, be sure to visit us online at willag.org. By about 6 o'clock this evening, we'll post Commodity Week. Our guest, Tom Doerr, he is with the U.S. Grains Council.
It's National Frappy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, Charles Marvin was born, a U.S. meteorologist. He invented the clinometer that figures the height of clouds over airports. He was the chief of the U.S. Weather Bureau from 1913 to 1934, and he was especially interested in the application of mathematical statistics to meteorological problems. In 1894, Oliver Wendell Holmes died, an American physician, poet, and humorist. He was the author of The Professor of the Breakfast Table and Over the Teacups. In 1940, the U.S. Postal Service issued a one-cent stamp honoring Eli Whitney, inventor of the mechanical cotton gin. In 1950, Willis Carrier died, an American inventor. He was responsible for modern air conditioning. And in 1956, Clarence Birdseye died in New York. An American naturalist and inventor, he is the creator of the deep freezing food method and co-founder of General Foods Corporation. On Arctic trips as a field naturalist for the United States government, he noticed that freshly caught fish, when placed onto the Arctic ice and exposed to the icy wind and frigid temperatures, froze solid almost immediately. He learned, too, that the fish, when thawed and eaten, still had all its fresh characteristics. In September of 1922, Birdseye organized his own company, Birdseye Seafoods Incorporated, in New York City. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
This is the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. I'm Yovi Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Steve Hilberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Urbana-Champaign. Steve, thanks for taking the time with us. It's been a beautiful week this week across Illinois and I think across much of the Midwest. Recap that and then take a look at the weekend for me.
Well, it has been it's really unusual to have, I think, this many days of such consistent weather. Even in the fall, we tend to have some pretty nice weather for stretches. But we've had now 6 days of sunshine, temperatures in the afternoons in the 80s, overnight lows in the 40s and, well, 40s mostly, actually in the 30s early in the week, and absolutely no rainfall. So very nice week for doing anything outside and, of course, been excellent drying weather as well.
And then looking ahead?
Well, looks like we got a few more days of this type of weather. I think probably we may see a little bit of a cooling this week and may not be quite as warm on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, but we'll still be up around 80 degrees, which for this time of year is a bonus. And dry weather continuing, we'll start to see some increase in cloudiness Tuesday into Wednesday, and it looks like a strong cold front will likely come through here very late Wednesday and bring us a chance of rain and also a turn to colder weather.
I know you deal mostly with the Midwest, but have you been watching? I know you have the drought as it ensues across the Southwest, and then that rainfall pattern that's all important for the hard red winter wheat crop there.
Yeah, it's actually been rather remarkable, the precip forecasts that are coming out for all the way from west central Texas up into Nebraska. Rainfall the next 3 days is going to be rather abundant, and that's going to be a huge lift for those folks out there. I wouldn't call it a drought breaker. This drought has gone on so long, they're going to need consistent and hopefully regular precipitation to break that, but this will certainly help. If you believe the actual automated amounts, some areas in north of the Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma are looking at close to 10 inches of rain, possibly over 3 days. And that could happen in a few isolated spots, but I think more likely several inches is certainly possible over a broad area of the drought-affected area right now. So that's really good news.
And then it's cold and snowing in Wyoming today?
Well, there's a huge transport of moisture northward, and there's enough cold there aloft and in at the higher levels to help produce some snow. And they've actually had some snow in Colorado mountains, too. So that's not too unusual this time of year.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right, Todd.
That is Steve Hilberg. He's with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Hey, visit FarmerView and then come back and visit us, too, on our mobile site. That address is m.willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.